Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Moves you right toward the first CBT line. Would you guys be comfortable going past the second at 264?
Yeah, I think that I'm not going to get into conversations around budgets and thresholds outside of saying that I'm going to do everything that I can. Our front office and with the support of ownership is going to do everything that we can to build the best team possible. And that's what we're working off of. That's the problem we're trying to solve.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number three here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, Joe Weil, and for the guys, Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson here today. Thanks so much for spending your Christmas Eve here with us this afternoon. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That was Craig Breslow answering a question about the Red Sox spending money. Or should I say, Joe, choosing not to answer a question about the Red Sox spending. He goes in kind of a, like, I can't believe you're asking me this again tone. You know that I can't talk about budgeting and spending and things of that nature. I'm sure that's an edict from ownership that we do not talk about money, but regardless of if Breslow wanted to talk about that or not, the fact of the matter is that the Red Sox acquiring Wilson Contreras and having it subsidized and getting $8 million back in the deal put them at right around $244 million in terms of the threshold, the luxury tax threshold. So it puts them within an area where it was reported back in November by Mass Live the Red Sox are willing to go, which is over that first number. They were just, if I remember correctly, just a little bit over that first number last year. The number that then comes into focus is about $20 million away from that at 264, which is when you get into the second luxury tax threshold. $20 million, as you know, is not necessarily going to net you an all-star, is not going to net you the Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Bo Bichette kind of bat that you seem to need. So tell me where you're at in terms of the information we have with the Red Sox in their spending and the way that they've gone about their spending so far this offseason.
Well, it now becomes very interesting thinking about how this team is going to make it work if they don't want to go over that second CBT threshold.
Yeah,
as you just alluded to, which would be spending over 20 million at this point. How this all works by accomplishing that in bringing Alex Bregman back into the fold. Now, because we're all critical of the way this has gone, the free agent part of the Red Sox offseason and the fact that they haven't signed a free agent. I've liked the trade moves that they made. I mentioned that a little bit earlier, and we'll continue to get into it. But they still need to add to this group. As we talked about, Craig Breslow himself said the roster is incomplete.
Right.
That was his words. And so I'm just curious if they really are steadfast, we can't get over that threshold, how they make the money work. I mean, trading Jaron Duran has been a big part of the offseason conversation. That's not a ton of money, though. That's a little over $7.5 million there. Obviously, they've been trying to get rid of Masataka Yoshida for a very long time.
Yep, yep.
That hasn't happened. Doesn't seem like anybody's biting on that.
And poor Alex Cora, man, he's got the edict of anytime you open your mouth, you got to talk about how much you love Yoshida. He's our guy. He's our DH. He's going to be a massive part of our future. I mean, just, you know, stick the dollar signs on my head and tell me that I'm trying to sell Yoshida to another team. I give Cora credit for trying, but nobody's biting on what you have to sell.
The irony, too, is I think they decrease his value when they're like, we're under no circumstances putting him in the outfield. They're like, well, actually, you know, we do need to put him in the outfield, obviously,
right,
to get that value up. But as we talked about before, and this is what I'm really curious to hear from people, because one of the things we've discussed all offseason amongst Red Sox, the Red Sox fan base, just people that talk about this team like you and I do, is they need to at least get back to square one. And so many people were saying, okay, that's Alex Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've made so many different moves, and I think impact moves, and we'll kind of talk about the Alonso Contreras comparison there in terms of what their games are. You bring Contreras in, obviously Alonso goes to an AL East rival in the Orioles instead. But now I feel like, if you bring Alex Bregman back, you're now operating at a net positive for the offseason. And that's why I hit on that in my three-point stance. If you can actually spend the money to bring him back, say it's on a five-year deal, I don't know what the Athletic projected. I think it was 6 years, 171. That was Tim Brinton of the Athletic that he'll get. And you worry about the other teams out there. In my opinion, if you bring Alex Bregman back, you have made this team now better in the offseason. But from what the text that we've got, the people that are lined up for calls, people seem to disagree with that. And I understand it, because it's like, okay, your one free agent is the guy you're bringing back.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than going out and getting Kyle Schwarber or Pete Alonso, guys you were hoping to get, or maybe a Dylan Cease too.
Right. But you are right in the sense that if you just do like plus minus column, plus, plus, plus. Okay, so you added Alex Bregman. You subtracted him originally, but now it's a plus, so that cancels each other out. You subtracted Lucas Giolito from the mix, but you added Sonny Gray to the mix. So you've essentially canceled that out, but some of the numbers that have been peddled out there are trying to suggest that, and I think you brought this up as well, that there isn't a huge difference numerically between what Sonny Gray did last year and what a guy like Joe Ryan did last year. The problem with that is that Sonny Gray is on an expiring deal.
He's 36.
There is no qualifying offer, and he's in his late 30s. He is the ultimate rental, which would suggest to you, when the Red Sox started by acquiring Sonny Gray, to me, my homer optimistic side said they're adding a rental to the bottom of their rotation to supplement it, implying that there was a Joe Ryan, Cole Reagans, Freddy Peralta type trade, or a Michael King, Dylan Cease type signing that would wedge itself right in between Garrett Crochet and Brian Bayo. Because I thought Sonny Gray as a rental number four, pretty damn good. A guy who can start in a 7-game series, but doesn't have to necessarily be a playoff starter. The problem is they made that move, and then the only other starting move they made of significance was adding Johan Oviedo, who you're not sure is in your rotation. But so let's just say Giolito and Gray cancel each other out just for being anywhere between a 2 and a 4. So you've now, implying that you add Bregman back, you've gotten back to even. So you are one Wilson Contreras better than you were when you entered the offseason. The issue is that you've also lost a couple of bullpen pieces out of this. So you can argue your offense is better. I can also argue that my pitching overall is worse. So they are incrementally better to me, Joe, but they are better in the short term. And I still don't go into looking at this offseason for the Red Sox going, this team has a plan. I feel like the way they construct their roster is almost an absence of a plan, because it just seems like a lot of moves that I'm not sure match up with any one set direction.
So, and that's where I think the Bregman signing gives you more of a plan and gives you more of an idea, okay, front office and ownership have the will to win. I do want to push back on the pitching side of things. Because now I understand where you're coming with the bullpen. And one thing nobody talks about in the offseason is the Aroldis Chapman part of this too. You got his best season ever last year. Is he really going to duplicate that next year?
No doubt.
Well, that to me is a question coming into 2026. That being said, I feel like their rotation is in a much better spot. We just got a text saying losing Dobbins is a minus. I appreciate the Bulldog mentality. I appreciate the fire he brought to Red Sox, Yankees, and I appreciate what he did in the rotation, especially as a rookie. He didn't get enough swing and miss on his fastball, and I think there are other guys, young guys specifically, that in my mind, in terms of upside, have surpassed him now.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was in your rotation to open the season.
Right, and working his way back from the ACL injury, too. So right. there's that element.
Or at any point. Yeah, right. That's fair. That's
right.
Fair.
So, but you have Peyton Tolley now in the mix. He's got this plus-plus fastball. He's got to work on the secondary stuff. Connolly early, the pitchability that we saw in his short time in the major leagues last year was really impressive. Johan Oviedo, there's stuff in there that I really like. And it's some of the advanced stuff, which I don't want to – call me a nerd. I don't care. I am one. It's totally fine. But I do think you now have Garrett Crochet, who's been there, done that in a full season. So you have that element. You know for sure he's a number one going into
yes,
next year.
Yeah.
My hope is that Brian Bayo takes a lot of the good from this upcoming year and that moves forward into 2026. Although I saw the Athletic like briefly mention that the Sox are not, I think what it was that teams may are maybe asking the Sox about their young pitching and they've then brought up Bayo. They're not actively shopping him.
The term was quietly shopping.
Yeah, quietly shopping. But it's not like they're going up to people and saying, hey,
would you trade him?
Depends on what for.
Okay.
You know, I like what you get in Bayo. I know he doesn't have the swing and miss stuff that is important in today's day and age, or at least as much as like Garrett Crochet or the top of the line pitchers.
Yeah.
But when he was at his best, I liked the soft contact. I think those guys can still exist in today's structure. The one thing that did concern me is the cutter was such a difference maker for him as the season went on. And then toward the end, it started to get a hit. We saw it in game two against the Yankees. He throws a cutter to Ben Rice, who then, you know, pokes it out to right field in what ended up being a Yankee win. And Bayo didn't go deep in that game at all.
Yeah.
So it didn't end necessarily great on that front. But I still like what you have in the rotation. He feels like a certainty to me in the rotation, which is why I like having him, and I think you have him at a pretty reasonable rate too. But yeah, I like the rotation compared to what it was last year. We were just talking about it. Like what they had to begin the season a year ago was Sean Newcomb and Richard Fitz as your 4 and 5.
Yeah.
They're in a much better spot in terms of their overall depth now. So I think they're in a much better position. I like Sonny Gray compared to what Lucas Giolito was last year, which was, I think, in terms of results good, but in terms of what you look at the underlying metrics and the projected stuff or the expected part of it, he outperformed what he was expected to be doing last year.
Right.
And I think to rely upon that was not necessarily smart, and I give Breslow credit for doing that. The bullpen's a concern. I'm with you. But I think starting-wise, they're in a much better spot, which is why I kind of like where they're at now, but it needs to be better to be that surefire, like, bona fide contender. And again, it's this market. You're the Boston Red Sox. You've had enough seasons in which you haven't fully gone after it. And I know they did to an degree last year, right? They signed Bregman. They make the trade for Crochet. I give them credit for that. Keep pushing the envelope, man. Like we're there now. You are in your window of contention. You have to spend. That has to be a part of the equation, because otherwise you're going to fall short of the expectations you've set for all this.
And that's also what bothers me about the way that the Red Sox are going through their offseason, because if you're just making moves in a vacuum, is there an argument that you improved with Gray over Giolito? Yes. Is there an argument that adding Wilson Contreras, that there are certain metrics in which that he is comparable to Pete Alonso as an offensive first baseman and significantly better as a defensive first baseman? Yes, absolutely is the case. And if you add Alex Bregman, okay, so now you have your corner infield set. You're a defensive plus in the corners. Trevor Story range, you're hoping can still hold up. But assuming that you get some combination of Marcelo Meyer and Romy Gonzalez at second base, defensively you should be good. You have some consistency there. And of course, your outfield was going to be a plus no matter how you organize it. That's all great. But you can't make moves in a vacuum in any professional sports league. You have to look at what's going on around you. You have to look at the Toronto Blue Jays, who started their offseason by signing Dylan Cease. Whether you wanted to give him 7 years and 210 is immaterial to the fact that they added an ace to a team that just went to the depths of the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The New York Yankees are adding Gerrit Cole back to their mix. Cam Schlittler looks like he's going to be a star. So you already have two teams in your division that are bulking up, and then the Orioles add Pete Alonso, and then they add Shane Boz from the Rays. So you're now falling further behind Toronto, further behind the Yankees. There's an argument that you're falling behind the Orioles. Then you look at Detroit, you look at Seattle, you look at Houston, teams that are still figuring it out this offseason. But you had ground that you needed to cover in the American League in order to be competitive. So even if you do add Alex Bregman, Joe, I just don't know if you've done enough of significance for me to go, yep, Blue Jays, Red Sox as the power dynamic in the American League. And when you're in Boston, when you are the Red Sox, when you're top five in revenue and 22nd in terms of percentage of revenue used on talent, that's just not good enough for me. I'm not rooting for an 85 win team.
No, and that to me is the unacceptable part of all of this, right? That's why I just want to make sure I make clear. It's not enough what they have right now, and that's why I think you still need to make that impact signing, because
sure,
you're trading mid-tier prospects for ultimately mid-tierish type players. I think Wilson Contreras is going to be good for this team. I think Sonny Gray is going to be good for this team. I'm holding out hope for Johan Oviedo as well, but it's still not enough to your point of getting somebody like Dylan Cease, as the Blue Jays did, coming off the World Series, 7 years, $210 million. I'm worried about that. I mean, we forget that Kyle Tucker's still out there. And if the Blue Jays make a play for them, as it's sort of been rumored at this point,
mm-hmm,
that becomes an even more dangerous team, and especially because offensively you've replaced Bo Bichette, and even more as good a player as Bo Bichette is. Where do you stand on the Bo Bichette stuff? Because if you had to choose between him and Bregman, Bo's the younger player. He's going to get the bigger signing.
He is.
His parents met at Gold's Gym in Boston, so they got.
Oh, just like Alonzo's wife is from Quincy. Right, I tried to sell myself on that dream,
exactly,
and we saw how great that worked.
I actually saw Montgomery's wife is going to med school in Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
See, they're all signing here. It's great. I'm not huge on Bichette. He's a defensive minus from everything that I've seen. So, are you signing him to big money to be your second baseman? If so, Does that end the Christian Campbell thing completely? Are we just fully committing to him being an outfielder?
I think we should at this point.
You're probably right about that. So that's not necessarily stopping them from doing that. But I don't know. That's a big commitment for a guy who I think has been very good in his career. But if Toronto just went to the World Series and doesn't want to re-sign Bo Bichette, I have to ask why. Whereas I know right now I think the market for Bregman is such where I just don't think it's going to take a crazy commitment to get him here and to have him back in that locker room, being the leader that you already know he is. I don't know. I get nervous about the amount of commitment that you'd have to make to Bichette. So where are you on that?
So I think at this point, in terms of the years it's going to cost, or the years the contract will be and then the cost, I'm more in favor of bringing Alex Bregman back. I think we're forgetting a little bit the leadership that he brought to the younger guys and kind of those like little tidbits throughout the season that you'd read about.
Yeah,
that helped everybody out. But you know, you bring up something interesting, Dan, about Bo Bichette and the Blue Jays and that part of it. If why aren't you bringing him back? I think that this is why, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I think this is why I'm now over the Alonso thing.
Okay.
And I'm content. I'm not saying I'm like full blown over the moon happy, but I am content with Contreras as the first baseman going into next year. Because I have the same question about Pete Alonso. Why were the Mets not gung ho about bringing him back, especially when we know, and this year offseason's been a little different, but they've had such deep payroll or deep pockets,
yeah,
and wanting to spend. Why were they not keen on continuously wanting to bring him back on a long-term deal when he was the franchise guy and set records, you know, for home runs for the franchise. Obviously, what he did his rookie year too.
So on that, there's the pragmatic way to look at it, which is it seems like they just wanted to do a franchise culture reset. They just traded Jeff McNeil yesterday. They've been purposeful in, it seems like, who they're adding and who they're removing from the mix. I'm going to be honest, like in poking around about this, with some people who are around the TV side of things, who are on the fields, I'm not sure how great of a fit he was with this year's team. I'm not sure how well he was necessarily getting along with the Soto Lindor core that seems to be built up. So I don't know. Not that there's any concerns. It just seemed like there was some personality. There was some difference in personality between what he was bringing and what the Mets needed, that makes sense.
But you don't think any part of that was he's terrible defensively and that you're signing him past his age 30 season here.
I think that's the kicker then. Okay, so if I'm not positive that you fit with the guy that's going to be here for 100 years and the de facto captain in Lindor, why am I going to then pay you to be a subpar defensive first baseman?
Right, yeah. Right. And that's where I think the conversation there becomes interesting. Again, I'm curious what people think. Again, hit us up on the phones and texts because I've now moved past it. I like when they didn't sign him, he signs with the Orioles again within the division. It's like, okay, here we go again. And not to say that this season hasn't been here we go again because, yes, they haven't signed a free agent. I'm past that, but I'm not past the point, as you were saying before, that this team is currently constructed. I'm not even sure that they're the number two team in the AL East right now, which is concerning.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we played one cut from Craig Breslow from his press conference yesterday. We'll get to some of the other notable notes from the leader of the Red Sox front office and where they're headed during the rest of the offseason. Plus, Justin, David, the rest of you, we'll get to your phone calls on the Red Sox, 617-779-7937. All that comes after Brian Frazoco. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Jaylen Brown scored 31 points and the Boston Celtics won their third straight game last night as they took down the Pacers 103-95. The Celtics now 18-11 on the season. They will travel to Indiana for a rematch with the Pacers on Friday. Tip-off of that game is at 7 o'clock. The Bruins are coming off three straight losses as Boston will hit the ice tonight to host the Montreal Canadiens at TD Garden. Puck drop of that game is at 7 o'clock. Jeremy Swayman will be in net for the Bruins. The 49ers beat the Colts 48-27 last night on Monday Night Football. Brock Purdy threw five touchdown passes. San Francisco advances to 11-4 on the season. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell said today that J.J. McCarthy has a hairline fracture in his right hand and is out this week. Max Brosmer is expected to start for Minnesota. The Patriots begin preparation for the Jets this Sunday, and according to Mike Vrabel, the team will open the 21-day practice window for defensive tackle Milton Williams. The NFL Pro Bowl selections have been announced, and only two New England Patriots have been selected, those being quarterback Drake May and cornerback Christian Gonzalez. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Brian Frazoco. That's what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When sports news breaks, don't ask these guys to fix it.
Nothing's a big deal!
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Well, just because Brian Hoyer is not joining us in his normal 4:30 slot doesn't mean that we can't play a Brian Hoyer-type rejoin. As Brian Frazoco is on the ones and twos today. Dan Ball and Joe Weil with you talking Boston Red Sox. So the Red Sox, as currently constructed, before we get to the phones, are a blank win baseball team.
Okay, so I'm glad you asked this. And I mentioned before I'm a massive nerd, right?
Sure. And yeah. I mentioned to Andy off the air yesterday that you make me look like a jock, which I appreciate.
Yeah, listen, I'm always here for you,
because I play the nerd on the play. I am the nerd on the afternoon show. But anyways,
listen, that's what I'm here for.
What comes from your nerddom on
this? All right, so
nerds. Thank you.
Well done, Brian. All right, so as the host nerd today, Fangraphs,
the king nerd,
and this is how you get started on a nerd conversation.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So Fangraphs put out their Zips projections. They do this every year. Kay. So they do it for obviously the players that they have currently. They're not trying to bake in Alex Bregman. This is really interesting. So this is, you get to the bottom of the article again. You can find this on Fangraphs.com. This is what's written. All told, Zips thinks the Red Sox ought to eclipse 90 wins and be seriously in the fight for the AL East title. Zips also thinks that Boston has less downside than its competition, and an awful lot would have to go wrong for this team to go back to it where it was from 2022 to 2024.
I mean, that is categorically false to me. I think that to say that this team has less downside, coming off of a year in which Trevor Story was healthy for the first time as a member of the Red Sox, coming off of a season where Roman Anthony immediately became a Rookie of the Year candidate, coming off of Garrett Crochet having a healthy and dominant first year as an ace, coming on, adding 37-year-old Sonny Gray to the mix, I think there's so much room for deviation on the currently constructed Boston Red Sox. Trevor Story and Aroldis Chapman alone are two guys that I think it is almost impossible that they repeat what they did a season ago. And if you lose Story's bat and you lose Aroldis Chapman as the anchor in the back end of the bullpen, that costs you multiple wins there right off the bat.
All right, and then this is I'll play devil's advocate.
Okay.
So, at first base, right, and Red Sox won 89 games last year.
They did.
At first base, you have a guy that last year was three more wins above replacement than the hodgepodge mess you had over there at first base.
No doubt.
Bad Tristan Casas, Abraham Toro, Nathaniel Lowe at the end, who said he was nervous before game three of the wild card series against the Yankees. That was not a good sign.
No.
Going into that game. You got him. You mentioned Roman Anthony. Actually, I think in that first segment, we didn't even mention Roman Anthony's name.
Right.
Which is kind of amazing. Oh, no, we did. I think it was very brief.
But he is one of the one things where you can go, yeah, I think I understand what's happening.
You're going to get him for a full season now, right?
Yeah.
And unlike last year, where I think one of the biggest mistakes the Sox made was waiting as long as they did to bring him up for whatever reasoning that truly was.
Yes.
You get Marcelo Meyer in a second season. Knock on wood. I'm knocking on wood right now that he actually stays healthy for a full season.
Yeah, and see, I can't bank on that. And, so no, I'm with you on Contreras and Anthony, but I cannot bank on that.
Which is why, I mean, going back to my point about Alex Bregman, again, I know he was hurt last year, too, and he wasn't the same player after the quad injury. That being said, you still got him for 114 games, and he was, again, a 3.5 win player. Mm-hmm. And before the injury, he was incredible, and he was an all-star. So I think there you can bake in some improvements. Again, and then you mentioned the rotation, too. I mean, Zach Coe and I were talking about this before we hopped on. Right now, Fangraphs, again, nerd, Fangraphs projects them as the second most valuable rotation in the sport behind the Dodgers, who spend $1 billion, you know, whatever it really
is. I did
is.
Read that. They also projected the Mariners' rotation as the ninth. So I'm sorry. For me, that makes your argument. And they put them behind the Blue Jays, who just added Cease to the mix. I'm sorry. That puts that number null and void to me.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes. Yes, Fangraphs, you are. The second, Joe, come on. The second best rotation in baseball, well, with Sonny Gray, Brian Bayo, and insert names here behind
well,
him.
Well, it helps, and let's be honest, too. It helps when you have one of the three best pitchers in baseball leading your rotation, giving you a lot of value.
No doubt about it.
But again, knocking on wood, he stays healthy.
That's right.
You bank that in, too. I let me just say this. I am not – when I read that, I was shocked that Zips feels that way. The Fangraphs, in terms of what they're projecting for this year's team, I was shocked that they had them – to the point of being around, that they're going to eclipse 90 wins. As we were talking about just off air, I have them right now in that 85 to 87 range, which to me, and we'll continue to kind of move forward with this discussion, and we'll get some callers in here in a moment, with the Alex Bregman part of it, again, health is a part of this now that he's in his 30s, but that being said, when he's on the field, man, you have some certainty there, and I feel like offensively especially, I love the way the lineup at its best, even in post-Devers, which is a whole other conversation. 1, 2, and 3, where you had Anthony, then Bregman, then Duran, if he's still on this roster, and we can get into that too if we think he should be traded. I just like that mix when they were rolling at their peak, when they were, you know, when things were going at their best.
All right, we've taken up enough of your time on this. Let's get to the calls in the Red Sox, beginning with our guy Justin down in D.C. What's up, Justin?
A great baseball talk, gentlemen, and happy holidays to everybody in the studio and out there listening.
Same to you, man.
Thank you very much. I have to agree with Brian, the producer. I think it's laughable, and I'm a nerd and a jock. I think it's laughable to say that the Red Sox will have a successful offseason if they bring back Alex Bregman. I think that steamer win projections are more accurate than Zips. And currently, if you add Bregman to this Red Sox team, they are comfortably expected to finish third in the division behind the Yankees and the Jays, not even considering the Yankees and Jays are going to add likely Bellinger and Bichette or Tucker. So that's wild. They are a distant third in the division. And if you assume that we add Bregman, you have to assume that the Orioles who are spending are going to add Framber Valdez. And guess what? Your projection goes back to fourth in the division. And just to end my first point before I quickly touch on my second one, which is the point is not to make the 2026 Red Sox better than 2025. It's to make them better than the 2025 Red Sox were relative to their competition, which Breslow is failing because the steamer had them two in the division in 2025. My last point, though, is you guys are saying there's all this certainty in the infield. I am sorry, but if Breslow adds Bregman back to this roster, not only will it be an aging infield, it will be arguably the most injury-prone in Red Sox history. Contreras and Bregman have shown that they cannot stay on the field. Contreras is also a clubhouse cancer, potentially. And then Meyer and Story are similar. The issue is, though, Bregman and Contreras and Story are all approaching their mid-30s. Romy Gonzalez, who would be the utility guy, also extremely injury-prone. I'll leave it here. I hear we need to look at Sonny Gray from Joe as being this great addition because of his underlying metrics. And then I hear from Joe, we need to like Brian Bayo, even though he doesn't have underlying metrics. So I am hearing it out of both sides of the mouth. I think this team sucks, and the offseason's a failure.
Okay,
oh,
Justin.
Oh, fire. Woo. Let's go, Justin. He disagreed with everything I said, but I'm glad he called in.
So just to recap, so he disagrees with you that adding Bregman makes this offseason successful. He disagrees that there is certainty in the infield, and There was also a point about the pitching that came in at the end in terms of underlying numbers. So
I can sum up what he said.
I have to agree with Brian, the producer.
Look, guy knows ball. I can't take that away from
one
him.
One guy is ball, guy knows ball.
That's right.
But okay, so the interesting thing, I wanted to look this up, the clubhouse cancer part of it with Wilson Contreras. I think there was an issue, and you guys back there, correct me if I'm wrong, and you too, Dan, but I think the issue when he was with the Cardinals was that the starting pitchers, they didn't like pitching to him when he was behind home plate, and now he's primarily a first baseman. If there were other issues outside of that I don't know of, like, again, now you're asking him to play first base, so you can't really be worried about the catcher part of it if that's the off the field or whatever, the clubhouse concerns. I mean, Craig Breslow spoke pretty highly of what Contreras brought during his time with the Cubs when they shared the time together. You have to figure that adds into the equation. The Bayo thing, I really wasn't trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth there. I my point is that we do talk a lot about velocity. We talk about all these types of things. But what I like about Bayo is when you have him in the right spot in the rotation, that's a valuable arm to have.
Right.
I don't think he's a two. And I think
not in a championship winning team.
Not in a championship winning team. But I think if you have him as a three or a four, that's a perfect spot for him, and that's a valuable guy to have in the rotation.
Right.
He just doesn't have that swing and miss stuff like Garrett Crochet or the best pitchers in baseball do. So I wasn't trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth there. My point to you was, do you want to shop him? Well, I don't feel like he's that big of a concern in terms of what you're paying him relative to what he actually brings the team.
And you're trading from an area, known major league pitching. You're trading from an area, assumedly, to get a guy like a Cole Reagans or a Peralta or a Ryan or a guy who you perceive to be a number two pitcher. That wouldn't be how I would advocate that you should go about that. If you know that a team is looking for fringe MLB ready or prospect level pitching for a number two, that's the way that I would go about it, because you're, as Justin mentioned, you're trying to improve the 2026 Red Sox more so than the 2026 Blue Jays are improving, than the 2026 Yankees are improving. And so if you're trading from a guy that you know is going to be a part of your mix in 2026 in order to address one spot higher in your rotation, then I don't know if you're really accomplishing very much. But we'll continue with the Red Sox conversation. We do have to hit a break. David, we'll get to your call. We'll get to the rest of the calls in the Boston Red Sox as well. Where are you in terms of their offseason? Is it a success if they sign Alex Bregman? Is it already a success? I'd be amazed if somebody had that take. But we'll continue the Red Sox conversation, and we will do that next. The second, Joe, come on, the second best rotation in baseball? With Sonny Gray, Brian Bayo, and insert names here behind him.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on-demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Sure, we're still looking for any opportunity to improve our team. You know, we feel like we've got a competitive team and one that's capable of a postseason run. But we also recognize that, you know, at this point, the roster is probably incomplete, you know, and it doesn't make any sense to turn off specific paths to improving. So we'll continue to look in free agency and look in the trade markets for ways to get better.
Craig Breslow describing the catch 22 that is the Red Sox way of building a roster. Well, yes, our roster is incomplete, but no, we don't want to spend to the second tax threshold. So how do you thread that needle? You got about $20 million to do it. Dan Ball and Joe Weil with you here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll have the drive coming up at 5 o'clock where we'll hit the biggest stories of the day, including an addition for the New England Patriots to their midst that we'll tell you about coming up at 5 o'clock as well. But first, David's been hanging on. He is in Abington. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. You know, first of all, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Lord and Savior is born. What I don't get is, John Henry talks to us about, you know, fiscal responsibility, how you run an organization. He's trying to lead a whole fiscal movement. And I get that as a business owner. But as a fan, he's continuing to charge me at the second level tax apron as a fan to come to the ball games and to enjoy the team. But he's not giving me that product. He used to do that every fourth or fifth year. And that made me spend for 4 or 5 years. The fans keep filling the ballpark, and he's not treating us with the respect that we deserve. If he won't spend, he shouldn't expect us to.
David, thank you for the call. And I think that's really what the frustration for Red Sox fans is truly rooted in. The number one thing that leads to the conversations that we have that have such vitriol, what you read on the text line, what we hear, what you just have when you're talking with your friends, is this team was a pace car in terms of spending, in terms of the aggressiveness with which they built their roster for years, and it yielded championships. And then all of a sudden, right around, you know, the post-2018, kind of post-2021, that whole thing, all of a sudden, the edict kind of changed, and we weren't really given a heads up that the edict changed. It was, we're going to continue to charge you more money, but we're going to change the way with which we approach building our roster. And I think that's a source of a lot of frustration for a lot of Red Sox fans. And up until last year, a lot of those Red Sox fans weren't going to Fenway Park and started not to spend the money that they were being charged by the ownership of the Red Sox.
And I think what makes it so frustrating is then you look at last year and then the sellouts that came in the summer when they were winning, which is in part because they spent money on the roster and they made bold moves like trading prospects to get a guy like Garrett Crochet, then signing him to an extension. I think what's so frustrating about it is if there's any ownership group that can actually look at what happens when you spend money, it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the championships that they've won when they spend money. And this is, to me, a bigger part of this conversation that does frustrate me. Not only the championships part of it, if there's any history that you can look at least in the last 20 years, of spending a lot of money and then ultimately getting out of it, and I'm talking about prior to, like, 2020, It's this ownership group. This is an ownership group, or this is a team that spent money on Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
Who is one of the worst free agent signings in Red Sox history.
Boston sports history.
Yeah. They also signed Hanley Ramirez in that same offseason, and he doesn't get the same vitriol because he did more. But that also was not a good signing. Remember, they got rid of him in 2018.
Right.
But it was still a pretty hefty contract. This team has shown that you can get out of those types of deals in a certain way. I do think baseball teams are smarter. And what I haven't even mentioned, too, is like the Carl Crawford deal as well. The Carl Crawford deal, and then trading away Josh Beckett along with him in that deal to completely clear the salary cap or clear your payroll. And then you reset things so that the next year you win a championship.
Right.
Again, it's if any ownership group can look at, you spend a lot of money, you're not completely screwed if you do that and it doesn't work out. There are going to be ways to get out of it as long as you're obviously still willing to spend. And to me, that's what makes it so frustrating, is that if any ownership group or any front off or ownership group can look at that type of history and look at the results that can happen based off of it, it's this one. And again, I think you can even look to this last season where people are not fully satisfied with what they did, even though they did end up, you know, they did sign Bregman for $40 million. They did make some notable trades there to make the team better. The people came out, and there was less resentment because they were good. Why not continue along that path is my point. And especially in this window now where you can say to yourself, we are a playoff team, let's make ourselves a bona fide championship contender.
It just seems like there's such a fear, Joe, of making any kind of mistake. Like what you talk about in terms of recouping assets and clearing your salary cap and all those gymnastics that they were able to do really without breaking a sweat. And the Nick Punto trade is, you know, as it's lovingly referred to, is a great example of it. That would imply that the front office made a financial mistake. It cost the Red Sox ownership money and did not yield a positive result, did not yield a result that could be directly tied to gate revenue, merchandise revenue, concession revenue. There was at least a willingness, an appetite, an understanding that those mistakes happen. It's impossible to build a team with zero mistakes on it. And there seemed to be an understanding during the Theo Epstein regime and the early parts of the Dombrowski regime and even Charrington there in the middle that, hey, we need to be aggressive. We're going to make mistakes, but we can still clean up those mistakes and not cost you all this dead money that then you're going to have to spend. Somewhere along the line, there just stopped being any understanding that that is part of building a team. And I look at the way that this offseason has gone. You still haven't spent a dime in free agency. You and the Colorado Rockies are mentioned in the same sentence in that regard. Bonkers to me. That would be laughable just if I woke up and I owned the Red Sox and I saw that. So that's one. The trades that you made for Sonny Gray, and we were talking about this off air, Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, both of which had to be subsidized. You got money back in the deal. Not to say that it was the wrong move, but you couldn't even make a trade. You had to spend more prospect capital potentially in order to get money back on that deal. So you are being so ham-fisted with the way you're spending money, it just gives the essence of, I cannot afford to make a mistake and be inefficient with my spending, so I'm just going to do nothing at all. And that bothers me a lot.
And speaking of inefficient, somebody just texted as I was rattling off some bad free agent signings. Rosny Castillo, remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a mistake. It happens.
Well, and you make an interesting point, too, because you talk about you're going to make mistakes along the way. Look at the Dodgers. I mean, they spent so much money on Tanner Scott last year. He wasn't good for them. And then they end up this offseason going out and getting Edwin Diaz.
Exactly. Look at the Toronto Blue Jays in your own division. They signed Anthony Santander, and that has been a disaster. So what are we going to do? We're going to go out and sign Kyle Tucker. They signed Barrios, and he isn't performing any, or they added Barrios, he's not performing. Let's sign Dylan Cease and make up for it. So the spending continues to be the root of the issue for the Boston Red Sox. You hope that they spend on at least one more player, but again, those numbers are starting to get a little uncomfortable there in that tax threshold. We've reached the 5 o'clock hour here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll get to the drive where we hit the biggest stories in the world of sports. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, a clip that came from the world of Barstool, and John Gruden, who knows his way around a good quarterback, made one of the more definitive statements about Drake May that we've heard in a while. We'll react to that all coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
He's trying to lead a whole fiscal movement, and I get that as a business owner.
Sick brag, bro.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle, but what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.